In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
As I was going through our readings, I'm thinking there's so much here. There's so many directions that we could carry this understanding of God's Word today. And what it really showed me is how much we lack understanding. And when I say we, I mean me. I just like to drag you in with me. See, Jesus is perpetually inviting us into this life of freedom in Him. And I think that is also, at the same time, the biggest struggle we have, because we think we're free. Amen? And we focus on that as we're coming into the 4th of July, and we hear a lot about freedom during the 4th of July. But you know, it's not Freedom Day, it's Independence Day. See, there's another kind of freedom other than just being independent from a monarchy, which is what it celebrates. It is also an opportunity to grow into the fullness and understanding of what freedom might be for us. And I think freedom can be so many different things, but I believe today, Paul, as he's writing this letter to the Christians in Rome, is trying to explain to them what true freedom can be. And true freedom comes in a life in Christ. So for us today, we stop and think about, well, I'm free. I live where I choose to live. Well, okay, I don't. But I get to choose the house I live in. My boss chooses where the house is. But most of y'all are a little more free, unless, of course, you're in the military, then you know what I'm talking about. But the fact of the matter is we have choices to make. And when we have choices and we allow ourselves to make them, we base that on an understanding that we're free. And Paul is trying to teach the church that there's something more to it. And I think the struggle comes as we already have set in our minds and in our hearts that we are free. So verse 16 out of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 6, says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" Do you not know? He says that for a reason. Same reason he said it to this church is the same reason we should hear it today. I'm not sure we know. What does this really mean? If you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. Now, those are both words we don't really care to hear. If I start a sentence with you and say, as the priest, and I've heard these stories 100 times, you need to be obedient, and it doesn't even matter what you say after that, does it? Because as soon as I tell you, you need to be obedient, you're done listening. I know I am. I'm like, you come to me and say, Brian, you need to be obedient, and I'm thinking, from then on, I'm spinning. I'm thinking, you know what? I bet I don't. I don't even want to hear what you have to say next. It could be the most amazing thing. I'm not going to hear it because the noise in my head is telling me I'm not obedient to anybody. I'm free. But that's not what Paul's saying. He's saying, do you not know? Because we can pretend we're not obedient to anything, but I bet we are. He is offering us a freedom from the worldly things that come into our lives. The perspective that Jesus is offering doesn't feel free when Paul describes it this way to us. He says this, verse 17, "But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted." Okay. Not 100% sure yet what that means. But the reality is this. We are obedient to something. We may not know fully what that is. And we may need to spend a little time discerning what that may be. But the reality is, we are obedient. And we know how to be obedient. The question is what we are obedient to leading us to righteousness? Or is it just leading us through a world in a way in which we enjoy the world? As you all well know, I've spent a fair amount of time working with people who are struggling with addiction, alcoholism. I don't really do much other than listen, mostly. Occasionally speak a truth as I understand truth to be. But many times in these conversations, I've had people come to me who are struggling, whether it be with addiction or alcoholism or just life in general. They have a sense, something inside of them has encouraged them to a change. That thing, by the way, is their very heart, which by default just is part of God as he indwells us in the depth of our soul. And they say to me, I want to be different, and I want to do this differently. And in AA, it's a little easier because the first thing they have to do is turn their life over to God. They call it a higher power. And to recognize that they are something bigger than themselves. And they say, I don't know how to do that. And I generally laugh. So you're thinking, why would I think that's funny? Because I have somebody sitting in front of me who has built their entire life around a bottle and its contents. Even people sitting in front of me who have given their entire life over to it, they have lost their jobs, their houses, their cars, their families, and they sit in front of me and they go, I'm really struggling with this concept of turning my whole life over to God. I don't know how to do that. I've said, really? Seems to me you know exactly how to turn your whole life over to something. It just happens to be the bottle and not God. Amen? So all of us, if we think about it, we probably do have some understanding of what it means to turn our entire lives over to something. The question is that something leading us to righteousness? Now, immediately when we hear what Paul is saying, this concept of being a slave to sin, we think, well, I'm not a slave to sin. Am I? Well, I don't think I am. Yeah, I'm not without sin. But when we think about sin, we think of the big ones, right? I think as long as I'm not doing any of those big ones, I'm probably doing okay. But God is saying, no, I want you to be righteous. Sanctified, Paul will go on to say, and we struggle with that. And in verse 17, the most important piece is this. Paul's just assuming they've heard the message and they're living it out. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Obedient from the heart. See, that's different, isn't it? See, we're free to make decisions. But we have to start wondering, what are we obedient to? Because that, brothers and sisters, will show you your heart. What in this world are you obedient to that maybe isn't leading you to righteousness? In fact, maybe we should look at what righteousness is. This righteousness being right in the eyes of God. By our nature, by our attitude, by our actions, by our word. And as we live into that righteousness in our obedience to God, as opposed to sin, by being a slave to God, as opposed to a slave to sin, we begin this process of sanctification. It doesn't happen overnight. That would be really handy. But it takes time, and it takes wondering, and you have to, well, what do I even have to think about to know? Well, think about what you are obedient to. What controls your time? What do you base your decisions on? What defines your life? Those are the things you're obedient to. And are those the things that are leading you to righteousness? Are those the things that are moving you through a process of sanctification, being set apart and made holy? What are you a slave to? That's a harder question. One I think we should ask. Let's not convince ourselves that we're free. Something is our basis for everything. What is that thing for you? Is it God? Or is it the world? I already know that I can say, as Paul did, thanks be to God, that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. How do I know? Well, you're here. That's a clear sign. But we have to remember that we don't always know. As we hear in verse 20, it says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So you had no concern about righteousness. When you are slaves of sin, when you are slave to the world, when you're obedient to the things that are happening around you and turning away from God, you don't know what you're missing. And everything you have is put into that worldly basket. And then you find yourself moving, and maybe this has happened to some of you, or you see it happening to someone along the way, where they just keep dumping into these things, and maybe you've made this journey of heart for yourself, and you watch them, and you just kind of think, do you not know? Do you not know? You keep telling me how you're free, but you're not. I see you as slave to this world. Do you want to be free? Your heart undoubtedly wants to be free. The freedom you desire is in Christ. But just remember, you are obedient to something. Verse 21, so what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? Well, I can say from my own life, not much. There were things in my life that I held dear. I took vows. Never going to change that. Never going to stop this behavior. Never, never, never. You know how many of those are left? Not many. You know how much I miss them? Zero. They are not missed. I don't want them back. But I didn't know then what I know now. The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. See, God has something bigger for you. Probably the first step in understanding that is just believing that God has something bigger for you. It doesn't really matter where you are in your journey. Because I'm looking at you at the moment, whether you're here or online, your journey obviously is not complete. Or you'd be looking at Jesus, who might be taller. But the reality is, we think we're free, but I bet you're not. You may just like the thing that you obey most of the time. But I expect there's times when you think you should be doing something else, something more, something bigger. And then it's your heart. See, it's not about changing your mind. It's about changing your heart. You can choose whatever you would like. You can get yourself to do almost anything for a period of time. But what it takes for righteousness, an alignment with God's will, a process of sanctification, is not just changing your mind, it's changing your heart and letting go of those other things that are distracting you from the reality of a life in Christ. A process of being set apart and made holy, sanctified. I know it sounds strange, but through Jesus Christ, God has invited us to true freedom. It doesn't sound like freedom when we talk about becoming slaves to Christ, but it is, and it will feel like freedom, I promise. When we shift our nature, our attitude, our actions, and our words from our heart, that change remains. When we change our mind with our freedom, it may just change again. But when we claim an obedience to God at the depth of who we are, every decision we make will be based on that understanding, that desire, that Master Jesus. So he does invite us to obey him. Which we don't initially want to hear. Be obedient to Christ anyway. Be free of the worldly trappings. Free to enjoy the goodness of God today and for eternity. You need to ask yourselves, we need to ask ourselves, what does my heart want? We are free to decide.